welcome to the Raging Bull Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Sturgill. Join me as I interview people from all walks of life who've built successful lives, self-made millionaires, entrepreneurs, traders, authors, and experts in their chosen fields. Discover the mindset and motivation to make successful people tick and learn new ways to apply these ideas, lessons, and successes to help you build your own success and live a better life.
Hey, everyone. So Jeff, I want to introduce someone to you today. He's going to be a new technical analyst with us here at Raging Bull. He's already got a very successful site called allstartcharts.com. This is JC Parrott. So I want to welcome JC to the Elite Room and Raging Bull right now.
What's up, guys?
He's just one of the most experienced technical analysts out there. I've followed him for a long time. I think he's got great insights into the market and using technical analysis to not just make quick trades, but really get a good fundamental understanding of, you know, where we are as an economy, where the markets are right now, and how to base trades off of that. So it's not about, should I buy or sell Apple today? That sounds great, but there's like underlying reasons why you should be in technology or not. And then, you know, filter up what are the best technology stocks to get into. And that's one thing that I think technical analysis really helps out with. So he's an expert at this. We're really fortunate to have him become a part of the Raging Bull team and helped us with new technical analysis and new ways of thinking. And it's going to help us find new trade ideas too. So I'm really excited about it. If you're wondering, the monitor's not wrong. I am really red today. The weather was really great this weekend. So we went up to Maine and I spent most of my life in Texas. So like no one gets sunburned in Maine. How bad could it be? So we're at the beach and turns out you can get sunburned. So there we go.
Lesson learned.
But JC, man, good to have you today. You got anything on your mind? Anything that's hot at the moment you're thinking about?
You know, my good buddy, over the weekend, you know, we do a lot of analysis at our office and we go back and forth all the time about different ideas. And we develop our 90% of our thesis comes from our top-down approach. You know, we look all over the world. We do a lot of intermarket analysis. But because I'm on the phone all the time with portfolio managers, I mean, when you add up my clients' AUM combined, like we're talking about trillions of dollars in assets. So the guys that I'm talking to, when they're like, hey, JC, like, how much do you like oil? You know, I'm like, probably not as much as you're about to buy. So these guys are really swinging. So they're also a great source of information because they're asking me questions about my analysis and what I'm seeing, but I'm firing them right back. So a great example over the weekend, my good buddy.
You feel a lot of extra pressure on those kind of calls, like what you say could be $1 billion getting in the market on something.
More than that, man. You know, for me, I started a humble blog 10 years ago, and I was just very fortunate that I was early on. You know, there weren't a lot of financial blogs back then. And truthfully, really, it was just a way to express kind of what I was seeing in the market, like kind of share ideas. And just I found it to be incredibly therapeutic to write and put ideas down on paper. I mean, that was really it. Some friends around me had blogs as well. So I just kind of want to be part of the cool kids. I had some help with some friends that built it for me. And then very quickly, I started getting phone calls from CNBC and Bloomberg and Fox and all these things. Hey, JC, come on TV, talk about your charts. You know, I was hosting Fast Money on CNBC all the time. Like it was running that New York City rat race from one network to the other, one meeting to the other. And then, you know, I quickly realized that, you know, there was a lot of demand for the work that we were doing. So I was like, all right, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm moving to California and we're going to turn what was then just really an unfinished product into a real business. You know, all the, you know, pretty much every bank that you've ever heard of pays us a lot of the big hedge funds that you've heard of and even smaller ones that you haven't. You know, they're paying us on a regular basis. And it's awesome because, you know, they pay us to do what we love because we have a big team. We just hired our 14th employee. So as a firm, we're really growing and we're very international. We have a business in India that does analysis specifically for Indian stocks. We have employees in Canada building all sorts of stuff. And I mean, our intern lives in New Zealand, for God's sake. So we're very international with respect to not just our analysis, but our own personnel as well. So it's great. It's a learning experience every single day. I'm always learning something. And because I'm able to speak to the people that I'm talking to, it really is such a blessing, man.
Yeah. It's great that you can, you know, have a skill like this and not have to live in New York anymore. Right. So I know you're back on the East Coast again, but you know, you can do this from anywhere you want to. Now, I think that's one of the greatest things about starting an online business years ago is you really get to enjoy the fruits of it now. So Like, definitely. Here we are.
And I think we're heading that way as a society. And I think this whole coronavirus just kind of sped up the process. People were like, oh, wow, this Zoom thing really makes a lot of sense. Commuting an hour and a half each way is stupid.
Yeah, man, I haven't traveled since, I think, February. It was like last time I took an airplane. And business as usual. You know, it's plenty of meetings, plenty of calls like this we're doing. I'm just not doing anything in person. But life goes on and I'm way more productive. So I'm all for it. But I do miss travel, man. I can't wait to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I've traveled a lot. And, you know, because of what I do for a living, you know, I've gotten invited to speak all over the world in India, Singapore, Malaysia, Hong Kong, London, of course, Dublin, Amsterdam, you know, all over North America, New York, Chicago, LA, San Francisco, Vancouver, Toronto, you know, Dallas, you know, all the names. And it just the one common denominator, you know, that I've learned throughout this is that for me to go up there and kind of share my charts and stuff like that, that's the easy part. I could draw them for you at this point. You know, so for me, that's easy. It's the conversations I'm having afterwards with the hedge fund managers in Amsterdam or the traders in Hong Kong, or derivatives traders in the Philippines. Like, are you kidding me? This is like priceless knowledge that I'm getting just because I've gone out of my way to, I'll give a presentation, I'll give back. But at the end of the day, it's a selfish endeavor. I'm there learning.
Right on. Yeah. Another thing people may not know is you're an incredible wine selector also. So if you guys ever have a question about which wine goes with which meal, you can also get that from JC.
Speaking of selfish endeavors, you know, I can tell you this is the best wine ever. You can hate it. And you tell me this is the best and I can hate it. It's a very personal thing, wine, just like markets. You know, it's a very personal thing. I can tell you this is the best strategy ever. And you're going to tell me, nah, that's too slow or oh, that's too great, way too fast.
Right.
You know, wine and a lot of similarities between wine consumption and analysis, for that matter, and study, because I'm a certified sommelier. So I've taken a lot of exams in the wine business and taken a lot of exams in technical analysis, as you can imagine. Man, so many similarities.
Well, the thing is, with wine, it's you know, you can have your choice on it, but the market has truth to it. That stocks are going to go up or down tomorrow, and your opinion doesn't matter. So It's all about aligning your opinions with what the market is actually going to do. So it's a lot of it's just getting rid of what your opinions are and focusing on what's really important. So that being said, what do you think is really important right now? What do you see in the market as important and what should we be looking at?
Yeah. So I actually brought with me a couple of charts. If you can imagine that, JC brings over a few charts.
I hope you did. Great.
So if you can see this chart that I'm sharing here, it's actually comes from my good buddy, Ari Wald, who's the chief market technician at Oppenheimer. Really, really smart guy. And this weekend, he's pointing out the fact that the private equity companies are breaking out, not just on an absolute basis, they're pushing up against highs, but on a relative basis, right? That's evidence of institutional accumulation. And I could tell you that for sure, because I'm talking with my clients and even friends of mine that work at these funds, and they have to be buying stocks. When the market is selling off, they're saying, come to Papa, because they have to be accumulating. You can see that accumulation in relative strength. And that's precisely what we're seeing in the private equity managers.
I think there's been a lot of weakness in financials overall because, frankly, you know, the market's worried about waves of bankruptcies coming up, people not being able to pay their rent soon, defaults on all kinds of mortgages and real estate out there. So we're seeing weakness in financials overall, even though with super low rates and the government backstopping things. But when it comes to private asset, you say those guys are really headed to breakout. So why do you think that might be?
Yeah, I mean, and you bring up a good point, because when you say financials, some have been struggling. Regional banks have been a freaking disaster, right? Big banks, they're terrible stocks, right? Across the board, Wells Fargo, right? On a relative basis.
The market's worried about it, man. I mean, for good reason. You got to be, when the market's that worried, you got to, you know, have a suspicion.
These things are terrible. However, when you look at the mobile payment companies like PayPal, Square, you know, look at an ETF, ticker symbol iPay, IPAY, which is basically an index of mobile payment companies. Just go in there and just dive into those stocks. They don't look like bank stocks. They look like tech stocks. So I think it's important, you know, same thing with healthcare, for example. Healthcare, now it's making new highs, but it's been a relative underperformer until recently. Mm-hmm. But the medical device stocks within healthcare have been ripping forever. They look like tech stocks because they are tech stocks, right? So I think it's really
one of those things I love a technical analysis brings out. So sometimes we just think, healthcare is off the table. So I'm looking at anything. I don't want biotech. I don't want anything. But then within that, there are sectors within healthcare overall that are doing well. That could be hospitals or devices or whatever it is. So I think technical analysis helps filter those things to the top. So we don't just discount the whole sector.
Same thing with like energy. Like, are you just going to blanket energy or are you looking
at right now? Purposes? I want nothing to do with energy, but you might be saying, well, there's certain pockets that you
really what about solar? I bet you want to have something to do with those.
Well, I do have some solar actually. So I don't, energy
so much, but you're right. There's strong stocks. As you should. They're probably popping up on your scans and stuff, right?
That's how I first started getting into them again. I was like, wow, I haven't seen solar stocks in ages and now they're all running.
Yeah, but think about it.
That's more of a political thing or why do you think the reason is there?
It's because they're not energy, they're tech, right? Same thing, the same reason why the mobile payment companies are doing so well and the banks are not, because the mobile payment companies are tech. They're not banks, right? Okay, so now with that being said, financials in general, particularly the banks, have just been a terrible place to be. However, the private equity managers, they look good, as Ari Wald is pointing in this particular chart over the weekend. So now let me show you three names within that group, right? This is what's called the top-down approach. We're seeing relative rotation into a particular sector, or in this case, sub-industry group, right? So now we look and see, all right, what kind of stocks are in this group, right? So here we're looking at Apollo, APO, and I like it above 52. If APO, and this is where risk management comes in. So if APO is not above 52, you know, hands out, right? Whenever in doubt, hands out, like the traders in Chicago say, right? No, I don't want it. If we're above 52, we want to be long with a next target of $75. That's a heck of a risk.
You know, that right there is a good point I want to bring out. A lot of times traders, especially new traders, they would look at that chart and say, there's no way in hell I'm buying that. That's way too high. I'm going to wait for it to come back to $40 or something. I want to see it come back to a price and then I'll buy it. Well, you're saying just the opposite. Do not buy it if it dips. You want to say buy that breakout, right?
We want to be buying stocks going up. We don't want to be buying dips. We want to be buying breakouts in uptrends, which I don't know if you got the memo. The stock market is obviously in. So we want to first identify what type of market environment we're in. Yep. Stocks are in an uptrend. Thanks, JC. But fine, we need to recognize that and be like, okay, what do we want to do in uptrends? Do we want to be shorting stocks or do we want to be buying them? And when we're in uptrends, historically, it pays better to spend time looking for stocks to buy than for looking for stocks to short, right? We've done the work. Buying stocks in uptrends makes a hell of a lot more sense. So, okay, we're in uptrend. So what are we doing? We're buying stocks. What types of stocks are we buying? We want to be buying the strongest stocks, right? We want to be buying the ones showing positive momentum, relative strength. Those are the names that we want to be in. And Apollo pushing up against new highs is one of those. Look at Blackstone, another one. We want to be buying this above 60. If we're above 60, we want to be long Blackstone with a target of 95. And then finally, Ares. Ares Management, A-R-E-S, if we're above $40. If we're not above $40, we don't want it, right? If we're above $40, we want to be long A-R-E-S with a target of about $58. And that's the top-down approach. Banks suck. Private equity companies do not, clearly. Within private equity companies, which ones do we want to buy? These are the three that we want to buy.
That's very interesting. You know, those have not been on my radar in 2 or 3 years, honestly. I haven't looked at private equity companies. So, you know, they were really hot for a while. Interest rates and the economy kind of messed everything up, but those are really rocking right now. I can see those breakouts coming. So definitely
on my radar. Somebody made a joke. My friend Mike Santoli the other day made a joke on Twitter. He's like, the companies that start with S and end in fly are killing it. He's like, Spotify, it was another something fly.
Shopify.
Yeah, that's it. Shopify that start with an S and end in fly. So Shopify, right? So I'm like, whatever happened to Shutterfly? Remember that one?
Oh. Yeah.
I looked it up and guess who owns Shutterfly? Apollo. So they bought it. Able to participate in that trade by owning Apollo.
With technology being so strong in the last, I don't know, forever, and now things are pulling back a little bit, do you think it's just a healthy pullback or do you think like we're going through a rotation now? Do you think money's going to flow out of Amazon, Apple, Microsoft and into industrials or other sectors of the market? Where do you think we're at?
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that we're seeing rotation. Actually, let me show you. I've got more charts today than I do any other day of the entire month, believe it or not, which if you know me, is probably saying a lot.
I love charts, man. Feed us charts.
All right. So when you ask me about tech, I think it'd be foolish not to start with the NASDAQ 100, right? There's a reason the NASDAQ 100 looks a lot better than the Dow Jones Industrial Average or S&P. because the NASDAQ isn't full of a bunch of energy and bank stocks, right? Mm-hmm. Very simple. You know, when you look at the New York Stock Exchange composite, that is over half of the largest 100 components are international. Because of that international exposure, the New York Stock Exchange composite looks nothing like the NASDAQ, right? So when we talk about tech, we want to look at the NASDAQ because that's what's driving that index, which is the strongest one of any index on planet Earth. And let's understand why, because of what's in it. So here we're looking at the NASDAQ 100, and we have closed two consecutive months, all-time closing highs, two consecutive months.
That sounds bullish to me.
One thing we know for sure, Jeff, listen, I'm not like Albert Einstein or anything like that. But one thing I know for sure is that new all-time highs are not a characteristic of a downtrend. That I can promise you. I have done the work. New all-time highs.
I'll write that one down. Downtrends.
So, all right. New all-time highs back to back. So I'm looking at tech.
We say NASDAQ's up, tech. Do we have pockets of tech that we see are stronger than others at the moment, or what are you saying there?
Yeah, no doubt about it. But let me kind of take a step back for a second, because what we were talking about earlier, this is technology. This is XLK. So you got, what do you got? You got a ton of Apple and a ton of Microsoft is really what you got here.
Yeah, I forget the weightings now, but that's a ton of the weightings. Those few stocks. And it's probably five stocks that make up more than 50% of that whole fund.
Probably more. I'll tell you right now, we have the technology. See what I did there? Microsoft is 22%, Apple 21%, Visa 5%, MasterCard 4%, Intel 4%.
Wow, two stocks are over 40% of the entire index.
Here's that's time to reweight it. Keep in mind, though, Facebook is not a tech stock. Facebook is a communication stock. So is Google, for that matter. Google's not in the tech sector. Amazon, not a tech stock. Consumer discretionary. So a big theme here is tech, not tech. We talked about mobile payments in financials. We talked about medical equipment in healthcare. We talked about your solar stocks within energy. Those are the tech stocks within other sectors. That's a big theme. Facebook and Google, we can argue back and forth all day long whether they're tech stocks or not. But at the end of the day, the S&P the geniuses at Standard & Poor's are putting that in a different index, right? So we need to understand, imagine if Google and Amazon and Facebook were in the tech sector, right? That's the NASDAQ 100 for all intents and purposes. Sure,
absolutely.
So let's recognize that. So then what we do is we have a new scan that we're running that we've got some guys that are way smarter than I am building
under the hood, huh?
That's what we call it under the hood.
I like that. That's good.
You like that one, or you like Robin the Hood better?
Ooh, so many ways to go, man. That's
so many ways. Anyway, needless to say, we're going under the hood and seeing what the Robin Hood traders are buying so aggressively for two reasons. Number one, they're doing very well, by the way. The stocks that they're buying are going up a lot. So it's a great radar.
I can't believe it. I mean, every big manager wants to knock the Robinhood guys, but Robinhood guys are crushing it this year.
Crushing.
El Prez is just hand over fist. Everything they buy just goes up. He's right. Stocks only go up.
Smart buddy of mine said the other day, last week, I'm talking to him. He's like, the stocks I'm buying are going up. The stocks I'm not buying are going up. When I get stopped out, those turn around and go up also. That's how you know. And then when I take profits, they go higher. He's like, that's how you know you're in a strong market. And I'm like, well, I can't argue with that. So listen to what we're doing. So we got these, you know, coder guys in Canada that are building things that I can't even, like, there's like codes and APIs involved. Like, it's very confusing for me. Yep. But I get a heads up when you have a bunch of lunatics on their cell phones buying a stock. That's the information I'm looking for.
I like that info. That's good.
And then our filters that we built internally, like kick out ETFs, leverage ETFs, stocks that are below a 500 million market cap, stocks that are below a certain volume amount. I forget off the top of my head what it is, but we have different filtration systems. So we're not getting a bunch of junk. We're getting stuff that we can actually use. And then from there, then we add short interest. We're getting data from StockTwits. We're like working with other data providers in Switzerland to get us some other international stuff. Really, really cool. But at the end of the day, what do we get? We get a list of stocks. Great. What do we do with that list? Then we add the human element. And then we identify which ones provide the best risk versus reward in some cases to bet with the trend, right? With the Robin Hood crazies, if you will. Yep. And then also bet against them. Short it. sure, bubble. Let's bet against them. And I'm good either way.
Right. I mean, right now, I just see so many of those biggest stocks that Robinhood's getting into. Everyone's shorting because they're so convinced Robinhood's wrong. But that just creates more fuel for the fire, right? Those guys are getting stopped out. The shorts are having to cover. And it's just carrying these stocks higher and higher and higher. It's endless, it seems like.
Well, the one thing that the market guarantees is that we will have more opportunities. You know,
right on.
Yep. You can't be Mr. FOMO and fear of missing that trade because the market doesn't guarantee as much, as you're well aware, Jeff, but it does guarantee that we will have more opportunities. And speaking of more opportunities, I have a chart here that I'd like to share. It was the number two change in accounts last week. Moderna, or if you'd like to pronounce it in Spanish, Moderna.
I like that better. I'm going to start using that.
All right. So again, just a good risk versus reward. What do we know? We know a bunch of junkies on their iPhones are buying this stock. Why are they buying this stock? I'm pretty sure it has to do with like a vaccine. They're going to save the world or something like that. Great. We're less concerned with them saving the world. I mean, I certainly hope they do, but I have no control over that. And I don't know anything about science. What I do know is that if Moderna is above 80 bucks, we need to be buying this stock very, very aggressively. Mm-hmm. Again, we only want to be long if we're above 80. If this stock is not above $80, we absolutely do not want to own this stock. But if
how do you come up with that number? Why 80?
Well, we use the market has a pulse, right? And the market goes in cycles. And we've done a lot of analytical work and identifying those cycles from both a time and a price perspective. You know, when you throw a rock into the lake, the rock lands and then there's a trickle effect across the lake, right? Yeah. In the market, it's the same thing. So what we're looking at is we're looking at a massive base in Moderna going back to last year. You know, it's the great Louise Yamato taught us the bigger the base, the higher in space. Or she says it, JC, the bigger the base, the higher in space. That's what she says.
She's I like, love her, man. She's great.
She is fantastic. And when you ask her where she learned that, she says she got it from Alan Shaw. And when you ask Alan where he learned that, he says, I forgot the guy's name, where he learned that in the 1930s. So like this goes back forever supply and demand doesn't change, right? We could be talking about gold or an ETF or stocks, you know, whatever it is that we're looking at the end of the day, it's driven by supply and demand, human behavior. So what is a base? It's a consolidation period of accumulation. So what it's doing is that it's absorbing overhead supply. The market is absorbing that selling taking place. And that's a process. So when you get that base breakout, if you will, that's the market identifying to us that the buying pressure has been enough to absorb all of that selling pressure. In this particular case, about a year's worth or 10 months worth of selling pressure. The longer that consolidation takes, the bigger the eventual resolution. And that's what we're
seeing it right now, for sure.
100%. So we take the Fibonacci extension levels of that base. And as you can see, the market has respected these levels time and time again. Yeah. 80 is that next significant level where we can say with confidence, we only want to be long if we're above that. And if the stock is above that, there's a much, much higher likelihood that it goes to 120 than it dropping back below 80. Yeah. But
because that's good. I've been looking for an entry in the stock. And we got a pullback today on a downgrade, but I think it's a good opportunity to get in here. So I'm looking at it real strong.
Yeah, the geniuses at whatever crappy investment bank just put a downgrade on it. You know what I mean? Like, that's great. It's a buying opportunity as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Hey, if you're listening, this is one of my favorite opportunities, are analyst downgrades on strong stocks. They downgrade on valuation, but they have no idea. They can never buy it on valuation. They downgrade on valuation, but what happens is you get a discount in the stock, and then it keeps marching higher in a few days. So I see this happen all the time. You get a pullback, and then it keeps going higher. So I love analyst downgrades.
The clown show on the sell side, Jeff, is worse than you think. I have intimate knowledge of what's going on at these banks. They're my clients. I know what's going on.
We'll have stories about them one day. You don't say their names, but we'll have stories about
God, the clown show there. When you see, the best is when there's like such a small percentage of like buy recommendations and the stock's making all-time highs. Like these clowns are going to be chasing that all the way up so they don't lose their jobs. It's hilarious. But we can use that as information. When you see a stock breaking out to new 52-week highs and 10% of the sell side has a buy on it,
Good time.
That's the
right?
one you want to own.
That's a good one to write down on that one. That's good. Hey, let's take a question from chat room here. Christopher wants to know if you think real estate's going to start making a move up towards the end of the year in Q4 because housing prices are going up.
Real estate as a group is a derivative of an interest rate play. If interest rates are going to fall, you're going to see that sympathy bid in real estate because it pays a high dividend, right? Same thing with utilities, for example. You're going to get that sympathy bid on falling rates. I am not in the camp that rates are going to fall. I think rates stay sideways, maybe even go up based on the evidence that we're seeing. So to make a bet like that, for me, I don't love it. And if you want to make that bet, I'd rather be
involved. Rates are going up, which the market does not. But if you think they are, then real estate is not a good place to be. You're right.
It's not so much that it's not a good place to be. It's that there's just way better places. You know what I'm saying? Now, with that being said, if you look within the real estate sector, specifically at the data centers, like the data center properties and the cell phone tower properties, that's a whole nother animal. Why? Because it ain't real estate. It's tech.
All right. Todd wants to know if you have any favorite COVID or biotech stocks right now. Do you think Moderna would be the one, or do you have something you like better in the sector right now?
You know, Moderna, obvious, you know, choice. You know, look
just at go the biggest, strongest. Any reason not to pick the biggest one?
If you want the biggest one, just buy IBB and just have all the biggest ones. Yeah. You know,
and that seems to be breaking out all the time right now too.
That's exactly right.
That's a good one to talk about next time, actually, because I love that consolidation, and now we're seeing multi-year breakouts, so it probably carries a long way from here.
It didn't. Remember, IBB did nothing for 5 years, Jeff.
I know. I was trading the stupid thing. Like, what are you doing? Go up.
And but all like of that frustration.
Fade and pop and fade.
Yeah, but all of that frustration builds up all of that demand, and then that's what we're seeing now. I think it has a long way. It did nothing for 5 years, Jeff.
I love it. Well, good stuff. Thanks for coming on, introducing yourself to Raging Bull. We're going to try to do this like once a week for a while. We'll see how long it goes. Really good to hear your thoughts. If you're in Elite or Bullpen, just ask some questions. We'll try to get those. We'll try to get a few stocks next time that we can have JC talk about. We'll think about it beforehand and get into it. But this is a great session today, man.
Let's be creative.
Thanks for your thoughts.
Let's be creative, not just Tesla, Apple. Come on, guys.
I know. Well, I saw a few guys ask about Apple. I'm like, I don't want
to. Come on.
Things to do to talk about Apple. Apple's probably going up. That's my guess.
Me too. I agree.
All right, man. Well, thanks a lot, guys. That's JC. You're going to be seeing a lot more of him. Hope you liked today's session, and we'll see you again sometime the next week or so.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for listening. I invite you to visit RagingBull.com/podcast. That's RagingBull.com/podcast. To discover more episodes, to learn more about people who have created, built, and lived successful lives. Also remember to subscribe to one of Raging Bull's newsletters. Join me on the next episode as we share more stories from our guests on the wisdom behind wealth and how they built their own success. Raging Bull Podcast is brought to you by RagingBull.com, helping traders succeed through education, resources, and where you can watch real traders make trades. Raging Bull, learn to trade. We'll show you how.